Hello and welcome to the newest episode of the Inspired Souls podcast. Today I am very excited to welcome Lindsay Banks. Now Lindsay is an award-winning author. She is a psychic medium and intuitive guide. She's also a microdosing mentor and psychedelic, I didn't write down the last word. And you're psychedelic. It's the psychedelic community.
Yeah.
I've got that wrong, haven't I?
That's okay. I've
kept that before. This is going to go well. Thank you, Lindsay. Would you like to tell us who you are and what you do?
Yeah, so thank you very much, Helen, for having me on today's show. So my name is Lindsay Banks, and what I find with labels is the work is constantly evolving, so you're constantly changing, aren't you? So I always struggle to introduce myself, which is probably why.
I'm exactly the same. What do I do?
So at the minute, I say that I'm a shamanic practitioner, I'm a microdoser mentor, and I'm currently founding something called the Psychedelic Tribe Community as well. So I've written several books, I do YouTube, you know, I'm a seer, I'm psychic. There's lots and lots of things that I am and that I do at the minute. So, yeah.
Fantastic. Yeah, I think when we're doing this kind of work, it's like an umbrella, isn't it? And then all these different words and meanings and things. And like you say, we evolve and we're constantly moving forwards and changing and adding and releasing as well. So we don't always stay doing the same thing. So it's really interesting. And so I met you, I think last year, I think when you, it was so gorgeous actually, because you came, you joined my group and you sent me a pack of your affirmation cards in the post. A gentle hug for the soul. And they were gorgeous. And I always remember you sending me those. And I thought, how sweet. And then, of course, you were a speaker at my networking group a couple of weeks ago. And that was amazing as well.
I love
you. You shared your journey. Oh, yeah, it was amazing having you there. And the vibe, that meeting was just, the energy was amazing. So I know a little bit about your journey. Let's take it right the way back and share it with the listeners. Tell us how this all began for you.
Okay, so when I was little, I was always interested, you know, in ghosts and spirits, and I always felt as if there was something in my house, and I could hear things, but, you know, it was always dismissed. It was like, oh, you can't hear anything, you know, there's nothing there. And I then just was like a normal teenager, you know, like I took a year out, I went to uni, got a degree in international business, and I sort of went down the route that I felt I was supposed to go down. I left uni and I got myself a job. It was my 75th job interview, working for Tesco as a graduate trainee manager. Yeah. And I remember stepping in. I started my work down in Peterborough, and it was the biggest Tesco. Well, it was the second biggest Tesco at the time in the country. And I was like, oh my God, what have I let myself in for? Yeah. And I started, and there was parts that I enjoyed, but then as time went on, I started to feel really stressed. And at the time, I was like smoking 20 cigarettes a day. I was drinking 7 cups of caffeinated coffee a day. You know, I was just really frazzled. And it was sort of then I'd gone through a breakup with a boyfriend and I was moving out. And I happened to remember a friend of mine who had introduced me to Reiki back in 2002. So this was in like 2008. And I thought, you know what? I just feel like I need something for me. I need to try this Reiki.
Yeah.
So I went along and found a Reiki practitioner, and she put her hand sort of like over my body, and she started telling me about fairies and dragons. And I left and I thought, God, that's a crazy lady. You know, what on earth is she talking about? And I felt like it was a waste of money, because I was like, I don't feel any different. I thought, what has she done? You know, I've wasted my money and my time. But what I didn't realize as I started to read more about Reiki was that it was like the beginning of a process. So over the next couple of weeks, I found that like I was starting to shift, and I started to become interested in crystals and meditation and angels and angel cards. And I opened myself up like to this massive spiritual world. And I was just like a sponge at the time, trying to absorb everything whilst also staying in this really corporate retail world, you know, Tesco. And then a friend of mine, she passed away on my 36th birthday in 2016. And that sort of was this massive catalyst for me, because I'd spent the previous sort of 8 or so years learning about all these tools, you know, like the meditation, the angels, but I'd never really had to incorporate them into like my life. Yeah. So I knew about the theory, but I'd never put them into practice. And after she passed away, I remember just crying so much and feeling this intense grief. Mm. And I was like, I can't remember the last time I really allowed myself to feel any feelings.
Yeah.
And I realized I'd become like emotionally numb to life. So yeah. I hadn't allowed myself in such a long time to feel happy or to feel sadness or anger. I was just like bottling everything in.
Yeah.
So I then started going back to the spiritualist church and looking for guidance from spirits. And I was speaking to the angels and asking them for help. Mm. And then my marriage broke down as well, like 3 months later. So there was just this intense unraveling of what my life had been.
Yeah. So they call that the dark night of the soul.
Exactly. And that was the one thing that I had not, like, I had no knowledge of. I did not know what a dark night of the soul was.
Yeah.
Until afterwards, and I remember reading about the term and I was like, I can't believe they call it a dark night because it's so misleading, because mine lasted a good 8 or 9 months.
it's not a night. Yeah, I can definitely relate to that.
So there was very much, I was connecting back again with all these spiritual tools that I had in my toolbox and putting them into practice, and started meditating daily and practicing gratitude. And one of, you know, when we learn Reiki, we'll keep saying like, right, just for today, you know, I will not, just for today. And that kept coming into my mind because I couldn't see what my future was going to look like, you know, without my marriage, without my friend. So I was literally living day by day in trying to be as mindful as I could.
Yep.
And not worrying about what the future was going to look like.
Mm.
So when I moved out in August, and I remember just feeling like this sense of freedom and relief that I was now in my own space. And it sort of hit me a couple of weeks later that I felt like I'd been really lucky to have all of these different tools to help me through this dark night of the soul.
Yeah.
So that's when I then started writing them down, because I was like, you know, I'd accumulated like 10 years worth of reading and workshops and everything else. Yeah. So I wanted to make the tools really simple and accessible for others. So I thought, if I just put the basics into a book, then if someone else is going through a really shit time, then they can just read the book and say, right, I'm going to practice gratitude. I'm going to start with gratitude.
Yeah.
Or I'm going to start with mindfulness and start to look at how you could maybe incorporate them into your daily life, you know, with children, when you've got a family, when you're busy. So the book's only really short as well. So it's like 95 pages long, because I wanted people to be able to just read it, absorb it, and then put into practice.
Just be able to jump in, because there's an awful lot of things that we can incorporate into our lives, isn't there? And I think when we try and do all of it, it can become overwhelming. And like you say, just one thing, one little thing every day actually makes a big difference. 5 minutes of meditation or a 10-minute walk, something, you know, it can make a big difference. Sorry, I butted in there. Carry on.
No. I was just going to say as well, like you said, there are so many tools that are available that it can be overwhelming as well. Mm. You know, and if you go to any bookshop and you stand in the mind, body and soul section now, you're like, where do I start? What do I need? Is it angels or crystals or meditation?
Yeah.
And I think it's about really picking one tool initially, which is going to work for you, and starting with that. Because otherwise, when you're going through the stressful time and then try to think, well, do I need EFT or do I need Reiki or is it the angels? It can be quite overwhelming.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know from experience, going into lots of healing modalities, you then send yourself into a healing crisis. So that's basically when you have too much energy work, or you do too much, and then you're trying to heal on too many deeper levels, and then it really creates bit of a fast track, doesn't it? It's very uncomfortable.
Yes.
picking one thing. So what's that book called?
So that one's A Gentle Hug for the Soul.
Yeah, brilliant.
And the name came about through, I used to sell crystals. So when I first got divorced, I was like, right, I know I can sell crystals at school fairs, you know, so that's what I'm going to start doing. And my favorite crystal was rose quartz, which is a pink one, which is for the heart chakra. Yeah. And that was my first crystal that I bought. And I used to hold it when I went to bed. And I remember thinking one day, it feels like I'm having a gentle hug for my soul. Yeah. So it just felt that that was appropriate name for the book when I wrote it. So yeah.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, sounds amazing. I'll have to check that out. Can we get that? We'll do a plug at the end where you can tell everyone where we can get everything. So back to your journey. Where were we before we went off on a tangent then, which I knew would get happen, which is why I love going free flow on these conversations.
So after I wrote my first book, so I self-published it. I'd sent it off to a few traditional publishers. You know, my dream was for Hay House to publish it. Yeah. And they came back and said, do you have 5,000 Instagram followers? And I was like, no. I was like, and I had this real battle because I was like, I could easily pay someone like 100 quid or 200 quid to get me 5,000 Instagram followers. Yeah. But then I was like, that's not me being true to me. And it didn't feel right. So I thought, I'm just going to self-publish it. So I self-published it. And then I just carried on, you know, like with my day-to-day life and, you know, sort of like incorporating spirituality. I started channeling. So like I mentioned before, I'd gone to the spiritualist church a couple of times. And initially I'd gone for support and guidance. And then I went with a friend who'd been told that he could be a medium. Mm. So the very first session I went with him, there was a spirit came through who passed from suicide. Mm. And then the next time I went, there was another spirit that came through. And I was like, why am I getting all these spirits who've passed through suicide? And what I was told was that because I'd done quite a lot of energy work, it's like I could like work with the energy and transmute that energy and have the compassion. Yeah. And then we did our first channeled writing session. And I was writing down like, thou art this and thou this. And I'm like, why am I writing such old English? Who am I talking to? And I just got in my head, it's Shakespeare.
Yeah. And I've just got massive goosebumps. Oh, I love it. Huge goosebumps.
Yeah, I started laughing. Yeah. And I said to it, like at the end, I channeled this beautiful poem that he gave me. And he said to me at the end, he said, you know, Lindsay, he said, all these pictures, they make me look so serious. He said, but I had a brilliant sense of humour. I was always laughing, but for some reason, they just made me look serious. And I remember sharing it, you know, like in a spiritual group afterwards.
Yeah.
And this guy came on and he said, you need to apologize to God. And I was like, excuse me. I was like, I'm not apologizing to anyone. I was like, this is my truth. I was like, this is what I know I need to share.
So then
I sort of like, I was just a bit sort of like taken aback about Shakespeare.
While you're here, while we're on the subject, Let's hear about some of the others that you channeled, because I know there's quite a few well-known names.
Yeah, they all sort of started making appearance just after lockdown. And I don't know if it's because, you know, everyone was sort of forced into this isolation. Mm. But yeah, so we had Winston Churchill, Abraham Lincoln, Martin Luther King, Princess Diana, Madeleine McCann. Who else came through?
Wow.
Joan of Arc came through.
Oh, amazing.
So yeah, there was just
incredible.
I know, and I remember telling my mum, I was like, oh, Princess Diana came through, and she went, why is she coming to see you? And I was like, why? I don't know.
Maybe everything's energy, it's energy, isn't it? Yeah. So you know, obviously you, because like you said, because you've done that amount of energy work and you're open to that level of energy, it's incredible. Wow.
I'd ignored her initially because I was busy doing my yoga when she first came through, and I said, oh, I'll speak to you later, and then I forgot about it and I was just carrying on my day. And I think it was the next day and something popped up on Facebook randomly just about Princess Diana. I said I'm so sorry, I said, right, I'm ready now. So then she came back through and gave me the message that she needed to share. She had a beautiful energy. It was this beautiful green sort of sparkly diamond color.
Wow, that's amazing. What an honor to you know, be able to connect like that and have those kinds of messages come through and connect with those people. Amazing. So that took you on to the next, so that was in lockdown, so the next stage of your journey is something that you're doing something now, which I've been following, and I've been really looking forward to talking to you about this. So tell us about how you got into microdosing and
specifics. Well, initially it started again. So last January, I'd been gifted a radio show, and I'd been told that I could have this slot on a Monday to talk about anything I wanted. So I talked about UFOs, aliens, I talked about mediumship. And then on my final show, I'd interviewed a chap who had set up the Psychedelic Society at the University of York. And we discussed, we talked about mushrooms and how they could support people who had anxiety and depression. And we talked about his ayahuasca journey as well.
I was going to talk about that today. Yes.
All right. Okay. So his journey was fascinating. And like through the show, I just kept saying, you know, I don't advocate the use of illegal drugs. And then when the director heard the show a few days later, I was basically like asked to sort of step down and to be retrained because what I said sort of went against the protocol. So I was like, okay, I was like, I really appreciate the chance that I've had, but I feel like I need to be able to say things without being limited.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that was sort of like my initial foray. And I did a lot of research then about Timothy Leary and, you know, the work that he'd been doing. And I remember like reading about the fact that he'd been put in prison so many times. It was something ridiculous, like 72 times. And I just thought, oh, this sounds like a right character. And then, yeah, it was in sort of like beginning of February this year, and a chap that I knew just got in touch and basically introduced me more to the idea of mushrooms and microdose. And so I was like, I'm always open to new experiences and seeing how things are going to work. So I put out, I had a mushroom tea experience. So but like I hadn't read, right? So bear in mind, there's a lot of books out there that say, you know, make sure you do preparation, make sure you say your intentions. I didn't do any of that because I wasn't really aware of that at the time. I just thought, you know what, I'm going to try it. Just the ways that can happen.
A teapot of mushroom tea. How was that for you? Is this your first experience of mushrooms?
Yeah, so I mean, when I was like 17, 18, I used to hang around with like a group of guys who all smoked a lot of weed, and I saw like a lot of people literally go white, you know. So that sort of put me off, and I never was really, I never really took anything. I was never really drawn to any sort of, I don't know, any substance, I suppose. And I think as well, for me, growing up, there was this death of this girl called Leah Betts. I don't know if you remember it, back in the 1990s.
Yeah.
Where she'd taken like an ecstasy pill and she died, and it was all over the press. So I remember being really sort of particular about sort of like about certain things and chemicals and that. But with the mushrooms, I was like, well, it's natural, you know, it grows in the ground. So, you know, as long as obviously there's nothing added to it, what's the harm? And it was when I had the tea experience, it was like the deepest meditation I've ever been in. And my body felt heavy, and I sat in the same position for like 3 hours, ended up getting like really bad cramp in my leg. That was like the only physical side effect.
Amazing.
I don't know whether like the visions were really intense. So I was taken back to a past life, and I think it was like either 1140 or the 1400s. Yeah. And it's like I had this aerial view of my body in a stone tomb. Yeah. And someone was with me, and I don't know who the someone was, but they were saying, look, Lindsay, this is where the fear of abandonment originated from. So it's that deep in your subconscious.
And
But what this person said was like, you know, all the learning you've done, Lindsay, it's like, you know that when you pass to the other side, you never die alone. So even though you felt alone in that lifetime, you know, there was spirits there to cross over the other side with, and your spiritual army, etc. And then the goddess Kali came through, which frightened the bejesus out of me.
Yeah, she's quite a ferocious character.
I ignored that for the first couple of weeks after my experience, because I was like, I just don't even face that. And then after
fear.
Yeah, exactly. And then, So after a couple of weeks, I was like, right, I really need to know who this goddess Kali is, what it means for me and my life and et cetera.
Yeah.
So there was a lot of stuff came up about letting go and like ego stuff as well. And, you know, I was sort of told like, thanks for the work you've done, Lindsay, for the last 3 years, but we're just going to change it now going forward. And I was just like, what? This is what I know. What do you want me to do now? You know,
what's coming next?
So I had that experience, and it was definitely, I would say, like transformational and like a transition for me in terms of the work that I do.
Yeah.
And how I work as well. Mm. So prior to that, you know, like I was generally working every evening, you know, I was creating blogs and doing social media posts, and I've really taken like a step backwards from the work that I felt I probably needed to do, as opposed to the work that I do actually need to do.
Yeah, I completely understand that. When you came into the networking group, we were talking about intuitively working and how we've got to go with what we feel, what feels right, and not do what we think we should be doing, and it has to be in complete alignment. So I guess you've kind of made that step back from doing social media or doing the things that aren't maybe in 100% alignment, into really working with your intuition and what feels, you know, what also where you're guided, because I know you're guided by spirit and you get these messages and shown where to go next. So this has taken you to your next part of your journey.
Yeah, and it's funny because the other day I was getting really excited about something to do with like mushrooms and that. And I just had this like little voice came in, you know, and it said, Lindsay, you are merely the conduit for the mushrooms, yeah? You know, we're going to be the ones that talk, and you're the voice, and you can speak for us, you know, so just calm yourself down. All right, okay.
I love it. I absolutely love it. It's brilliant. So after your first 3-hour experience, you decided to start. Did you start microdosing? How did it evolve after that?
Well, so I'd been microdosing for a couple of weeks before that.
Okay.
To see, and you know, I don't feel particularly anxious or depressed. You know, I feel like I was in like a fairly, I would say, I'm not even balanced, I'd say maybe calm sort of space before I start microdosing. But what I have found is that because there's certain methods and ways that you can microdose, you know, that have been set down. So there's Paul Stamets prescribes one way, and then James Federman prescribes another way.
Yeah.
But what I've found for myself and others that I know who are microdosing, it's like, actually, we do it intuitively. So it's like, okay, do I feel like I want to microdose today? And if you do, then you can do. So it's like, it's just finding your own way with working with them. But again, it really, what I find is like on a day when I'm microdosing, I really slow down. Mm-hmm. And all these things I think I should be doing are just like, they're there, they can wait, you know.
Yeah. And that sounds great, because I think we walk around with our heads full of shoulds. Oh, I should be doing this, I should be doing that, when we're tired. And I certainly know when I need to slow down and stop, I might sit down for a bit, but my brain is just going, oh, I should be doing this, I shouldn't be sat, I should be this. So that sounds great.
Yeah.
I love that.
So there's a, like I think it does help to bring like some clarity as well. So in terms of, you know, what my work is going forward, it's like, rather than sitting staring at a laptop going, right, what do I need to write? What do I need to do? It's like, I'm sort of like, am I walking or I'm meditating or I'm doing yoga? And something just comes in and I'm like, ah, that's it. That feels right. That feels aligned. Yeah. And it's like, it makes you more productive. And, you know, so you're working less hours, but creating the same output.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Again, I love the sound of this. I think I need to do this. 100%. It sounds amazing. So do you find it connects you to your intuition more? It just opens up space for, I know you're very connected anyway, but it just opens up that space to allow more to come in.
I think what it has done for me is it's opened up, I suppose it's expanded my ideas of what's possible. You know, like in terms of what we can as individuals actually create, you know, what we've been told we can do by society, by the system, by everything else, is so small. Yeah. Whereas I feel like it's really allowed myself to look at sort of like the potential, not only just in like my work life, but in my personal life, you know, and really feeling into my heart and going, right, what is it my soul wants to do? What does my heart want to do? You know, rather than what my mind thinks that it needs to do.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I love that. That's amazing. So microdosing is just taking tiny doses of mushrooms, so that's a controlled amount, so that you don't get the hallucinogenic effects, but it just is enough to, like you say, make you feel calmer, more productive. Is there anything else that, if you know, if you were thinking of starting, for instance? I don't know how much detail you're allowed to go into.
So the substances are classed as like illegal. But something that someone said to me yesterday really rang true, and it was like, when you're ready, then the mushrooms will find you.
Okay. So,
you know, there's some like horror stories about sort of like, you know, people sourcing them, or, you know, if you don't know the person that you're either buying them from, or you don't have a trusted source, then I would be really, but this is the same with anything, you know, just being careful, because you don't know what that person has maybe put in. You know, you don't know. It's just making sure that, I suppose, like either talking to someone else who is like either currently microdosing or who works with mushrooms, you know, and if they know someone, then that would be your best bet. You know, I've heard some like quite scary stories of people buying stuff and, you know, it hasn't been right for them. And also do your research as well. So like at the minute, it's advised that if people are bipolar or schizophrenic or have like certain sort of like have had potentially like certain psychotic breakdowns, that apparently, like, and again, because there hasn't been the research done on it at the minute, they're advising that people don't take it. So
yeah, that makes sense.
I suppose it's like, it's knowing yourself as well, and you know, like, does this feel aligned? Is this something that I feel I want to try, or is it something that doesn't feel right for me? You know, a friend of mine was sharing a story about iboga, which is like tree bark, and where you eat this tree bark. And I was just like, I would say yes to most things,
but like, but not tree bark.
I do mean tree bark for me is just
no.
You know, and I think, like, we're seeing over in America the decriminalization of psilocybin, and there's a lot of people who are working over there, and, you know, really sort of like spreading the word and sharing what they know. And there is like research being done as well in the UK with Imperial College. They're beginning to do research, and there was the documentary on BBC Two last week as well about sort of psychedelics. So there is more people that are talking about it and sharing, you know, what benefits that psilocybin can have. And there's a brilliant photo, I'll have to see if I can find it to share you with. There was a lady who wrote a book called The Psilocybin Companion Bible, I believe it is. And in there, there's a picture of the brain, and there's these two photos side by side. And on the first side, it shows the brain before any psilocybin has entered the bloodstream, and on the second one where psilocybin enters, and what it shows, it's like there's more connections in your brain that are sort of like switched on.
So
it just, for me, I just feel like it opens up and expands the like possibilities, and
it's fascinating because we do only use a tiny percentage of our brain, don't we? So you know, having something that can help to expand that, and like you say, our possibilities and our potential is absolutely limitless, but we just don't, like you say, society has trained us to be small, but there's so much more, and this can help to open up that, you know, open up those pathways. It's fascinating. And I've been listening and reading a lot about ayahuasca ceremonies, which seem to be all the rage in America at the moment. Is that something you'd like to try?
Yeah, so it is something that I would like to try. I very much felt called to Peru a couple of years ago, but it was in a year where I'd just got back from America. Then I'd been to Glastonbury, and I was like, I can't really ask my ex-husband to look after the kids again whilst I go on, you know. But it is something that I'm open to doing with, but I feel as if it's like with the right person as well. So again, you know, I've heard stories. Someone had shared something on Facebook the other day saying they were going to an ayahuasca ceremony 3 days later, and they're like, what should I be doing to prepare? And for me, like, now that I know that preparation is actually quite key.
Yeah, you know, a bit more than 3 days, I think.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's like looking at your diet and the intentions and making sure your body's like as clear as it can be in order to really gain the benefits from that. So yeah, it's definitely something that I would do and I wouldn't say no to.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, like you say, that the emphasis is on doing it with the right person, and it's normally shamans that kind of do run the ceremonies, and they're huge over in America. It's so interesting. I've been listening to a lot of podcasts about it, and I think it's really, people have been really benefit, you know, massively benefited from them. So interesting. Well, watch this space then, Lindsay. I will look out for you for you on your next step. So tell us about your community that you're running.
Yeah, so I haven't actually, well, yeah, it's in the process of being set up, to be honest. But what I found and what I seem to always find is that when I go through an experience, like when I went through my dark night of the soul and my own awakening, I was like, who do I speak to about this? You know, none of my friends were going through it. My family didn't understand, you know, I thought I was going crazy. So with that, I set up Consciousness Arising, which is my free Facebook group. Yeah. And then again, sort of like in terms of my mushroom experience, you know, I was very lucky that I had a couple of people that I could speak to. But then I was like, people started private messaging me saying, you know, I can't speak to my friends and family about this, but it's something that I've been either looking into or I'm doing, or, you know, or I had this experience 10 years ago. And this is what I find is the more that we talk about it, the more open people become. So as soon as I would say to someone, oh, I'm microdosing, or I've had this tea, you know, people are like, oh, let me tell you about my experience 10 years ago, 5 years ago.
Yeah.
So the idea was that we'll just start to bring people together who've had these experiences. So that's basically in the works at the minute.
Absolutely. It's all about community and connection, isn't it? It's connecting with like-minded souls, people who have, you know, going through the same experiences or wanting to try certain experiences. You can't always talk to the people closest to you. So, you know, and we love Facebook for their groups, don't we? It's absolutely amazing that you can create a group, bring everyone together, and you can share, teach, and people can connect with one another. It's amazing. Absolutely love it. So, Lindsay, we're just coming to the end now. So I'm going to, before we finish, have you got any wise words for our listeners today?
I said I was going to ask upstairs. And then
upstairs, everyone. Upstairs.
Yeah. So I feel as if what I want to say is about community and about connection and about the fact that no matter where you are on your spiritual journey, you know, whether you're just going through a dark night of the soul or you're awakening or you're in the spot where you're like, you know, I want to try plant medicine, you know, you're never alone. There are other people out there who are either going through the same thing as you, you know, or wanting to do the same thing as you. But it's like, if you keep everything within and you don't actually share or you say anything to anyone, you're never going to find those connections. And it's about really taking that responsibility and going, right, you know what, this is something that I want to explore. This is something what I want to do. I'm going to go out and find, you know, my tribe or my community. Yesterday I was with like 30 people by the riverside playing guitars and drums and singing and dancing. And
amazing. Love that.
You know, and but that's like because I went out and I spoke up about how I felt about things, and there was a group and we started growing, and that's how you end up finding your tribe, is just by saying, this is me, you know, and never apologize for being you either.
Oh, completely. So it's showing up, sharing your story, being unique, being authentic, and there are other people out there who will, they'll be drawn to you because they're the same.
Exactly.
There are your people out there. You don't need to ever go through anything by yourself. No, thank you. Thanks so much, Lindsay. So one last thing, where can people find you if they want to connect with you?
So there's my website, lindsaybanks.uk. I'm on Facebook, I'm on Instagram, LindsayBanks111. The new Instagram account is Psychedelic Tribe. And where else? I don't think that's the main things. On YouTube as well, Lindsay Banks.
So basically look for Lindsay Banks. Thank you so much, lovely. I've absolutely loved our chat today. I knew it would be amazing. It's so fascinating and insightful, and I cannot wait to see how the journey unfolds. So take care and see you very soon. And thanks everyone for listening.